There we go. Right, so we come to the end of our series that we've been looking at for this past few weeks through the letter of James. This was a letter written, says at the in the introduction, to the 12 tribes, which of course is a reference to the Old Testament tribes of the Jews who believed in God. By the time this letter was written, it will be to those of the 12 tribes, those Israelites, who had heard of Jesus and accepted him as the promised Messiah, because not all of them did, and there are Jews today still waiting for their Messiah to come. And just a point as well, if you were paying very close attention, you will have noticed that Janet did not read the last two verses at the end of the chapter. But in fact, they were covered a couple of weeks ago under the heading of attitude. So they did get their cover. So we'll be concentrating on those verses about prayer. So this letter is to those who believed in Jesus and were trying to follow his way. It's a letter of encouragement and instruction, and it is for us today as well. You may have noticed that the focus overall was James' wholehearted devotion to Jesus. And each week, we were posed opposites. If you look at these A5 sheets that you were given about James, you'll see that the focal point for each week is down the center. So we talked about life, religion, love, faith, and all of the rest. On one side, we have what we're aiming for. On the other side, we've got what we're trying to avoid. So if you were to draw a little line underneath each of those things, it would be quite interesting for you to put where on that line you think you are in regard to each of those things. Under the life one, do you think you're mature, or do you think that sometimes you get a bit double-minded? And this is only between us and God, so we don't have to, you know, have a discussion, or we don't have to hide anything. We can just be as we are. Because some of these things will come more naturally to some of us, and some of them we will really struggle with. But it's a really good checklist. This book of James is so amazing because it's full of quite precise instructions and quite precise warnings. So it is quite a good checklist to see how you're doing in your Christian walk, where you maybe need to brush up a bit, and where you can thank God for his graciousness in showing you the way that is going to work best for your life. And today's focus is prayer, the very last one on the list. And the opposites are faithful as being the ultimate good, or flaky as being the one that's not very good. Good prayer is summed up in verse 16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And in the previous verses, we see the situations where we're called to prayer. We're called to pray when we're in trouble, when we're sick, and when we have committed sinful actions. There's an odd one out, if you notice that list. It's happiness. In those times, we're called to sing songs of praise. But if you define prayer as talking to God, well, it's added to the list. Because whether we're asking for something or whether we're praising him for something, we're still talking to him. We're still in communication with him. And of course, there are lots of verses in the Bible that encourage us to pray at all times, in the good times and the bad times. To me, one of the great things about this passage is that it encourages us to pray within, between, and among the members of the house of the fellowship of Christ, among the people we come to church with, the people we know through church, who are all trying to walk on this road to a good life in Christ. We're not called to endure difficult things on our own. We're instructed in this passage to gather others around us to pray. Now, some may say, that's turning everything into a social event. Oh, it's all about a cup of tea and a chat, isn't it? Well, yes, to some extent, but not totally. Hopefully, it will give us a chance to discuss things. Hopefully, we won't slip into gossip. But it is encouraging to be prayed for. We all know that saying, a trouble shared is a trouble halved. And sometimes when we pray, it is true, God can seem a long way off. But when we pray with others, we're encouraged by the faith of our friends gathered round us to remember that God is present, however we are feeling. and that we are for each other God's hands. If you think what it's like to have someone put a hand on your shoulder, on your arm, or on your back when you're feeling really down, and just give you a hug, it's an amazing thing. We are God's feet, because if we are to share with one another in this ministry of prayer, we've got to walk from one place to another. We're his listening ears. We're human ears that hear. And we're human eyes that see what's going on. And that can be a reassuring thing sometimes if God is seeming a long way off. In verse 14, we're called to call the elders to pray and anoint with oil people who are sick. And that is an interesting one, because it actually puts the responsibility on us to do the calling. And one of the reasons that it's put there is that the vicar, however wonderful he is, and Ben is quite good, I think, he's not a mind reader. He doesn't know if something is really getting us down. Because you know what it's like, you walk through the door and he'll say, "Morning, how are you?" And you'll say, "I'm fine, thank you." But actually underneath, something really major is going off. But, you know, we just think, oh no, this is the moment for just doing the quiet, you know, just the sort of polite exchange. But if we don't talk about those big things, if we don't call on each other to pray for us, then we are left to struggle with the big things on our own. So we need to take responsibility and not be afraid, not be embarrassed about doing it. Just think about it. I want you to have a think for a minute. Are you by instinct the sort of person who prays by yourself, or are you the sort of person who might be inclined to ring up a friend or two to say, "I'm having a really hard time, do you think we could pray? Or even, do you think we could have a cup of tea?" Because sometimes all sorts of stuff happens under what I like to think of as God's umbrella. So sometimes even those sort of fairly casual cups of tea conversations can actually have quite a profound aspect to them. So I don't know what kind of people you are in your prayer. And have you ever stepped outside your comfort zone? Have you ever done the opposite to the way that you naturally do things? What difference has it made? There are no right or wrong answers in this. Just think about what your own experience has been of how you pray and whether you get others to pray with you, for you. By nature, I am a social prayer. But one day when I needed strength and courage to get through something, and probably in retrospect it wasn't that big, but at the time it was a mountain, I thought about the people who might pray for me. And as I thought of each one in turn, they were away or doing something or something. I couldn't get hold of any of them. And I'd kind of made a thing about this, trying to pray for each other. And I was really, you know, I was a bit puzzled by this. I sort of thought, okay, God, you know, you've asked us to ask others to pray with us when things are difficult. So where are my praying friends? They're just not here right now. And so I was in the position at that time, so I thought, well, I can't get a hold of them. It didn't occur to me that there would probably be others that I could have contacted. But I did make me realize that, okay, God, you and I have to do this together. And why do I think that it was more difficult for God and I to do it together than it was for praying friends and I to do it together? The greatest person is God at the end of the day. But it was interesting, because on that occasion, I did pray and God answered my prayer. He took away my anxiety about the situation. And I was blessed. But I was also blessed because he showed me then that it's good to ask others for prayer. But if you've tried them and they're not there, don't worry about it. Go straight to God yourself, and you and he can work things through between you. And it's great. It's a thing. But we're human beings, and we have different ways of doing things. So I just encourage you to explore different ways of praying, because you might find that something is helpful to you that you didn't think was helpful before. We're given in this passage too, as we were in the passage last week, encouragement from the Old Testament. This time, it's the story of Elijah that is told in James. Now, Elijah was told to pray for the rain to hold off for 3.5 years, and then to pray for it to return 3.5 years later. I have no idea what the farmers thought that were left with that 3.5 years of rain, and I hope it wasn't a complete deluge because the land was so parched and dry when the rains finally came. But it is a statement of fact. It is what happened when Elijah prayed on those two occasions. And if you want to read the whole story, and it is a ripping yarn, I'd really encourage you to read it. You'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. It's a good read. So we're reminded, too, that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Righteous means to be in a good relationship with God. And maybe you feel that that's really where you are today. But maybe tomorrow you don't feel like that. But maybe your neighbor does. And that, again, is this whole thing about praying with each other. Even if we don't feel connected with God, sometimes it can take someone elsewhere to show us that God is there. And, of course, the question about what answered prayer looks like comes to mind. Very often, we come to God with a specific request. Not only that, we've had to think about it because we're creatures who are encouraged to use our minds. We're not just automatons. And we may have thought through the situation and thought, right, I know what needs to happen. That person needs to do that. They need to do that. And if they all do that, it'll be fine. Okay, Lord, I pray that to resolve this situation, that person does that, that person does that, and that it all comes right. But God's not a fairy on the top of the Christmas tree in a little sparkly dress with a wand. He's not that kind of God. He's much bigger than that. He's the God who knows us way better than we know ourselves. And he knows if we bring a situation to him, that there will be an answer. But if we wait for his time and his word, we may find that the answer that he gives is completely something other than what we thought would be the answer. It may look completely different. It may happen in a totally different way. And you know what? Sometimes it's a whole quantity, it's a whole multiplier better than we thought that our solution was. It's a challenge for us because there's nothing wrong with saying to God, well, I've thought about it, this is what I think, because that also is another way of God kind of talking back to us, because nothing helps us like saying something out loud. You know, sometimes people will say, if you've got a problem, write it down and see what you think. Well, sometimes you write a thing down, and I remember my old English teacher when I was in grade 10, which is a long time ago now, saying that you may have an idea in mind, but when you actually put it on paper, it looks quite different on paper to how it was in your mind, and so it is with prayer. And sometimes we think, oh God, this is what I want to say, off we go. But in fact, if we've written it down, we go back and we read it, we find ourselves making notes in the margins or crossing bits out and saying, actually, I didn't mean it quite like that. Or, is that really what I said? That's not really quite what I meant. And we refine it. And that's God's refining as well through prayer. So if we're in a right relationship and close to God, we will be given answers even if we don't agree with them. God will give us support. He'll give us encouragement. He will give us fellowship. He'll give us good attitudes. In short, all the things that go to make up for a wholehearted devotion to Jesus. All the things we've been talking about through James in these past few weeks. So I pray for each of us that we feel God's presence with us today and in the week to come, especially if it's a challenging time or a difficult time or a heart-wrenching time, because those situations arise. Or if it's a time when you've had a fantastic answer to prayer and you want to thank God for what he's done for you. And I pray too that we learn as we go along in this process to understand more and more the way that God speaks to us through prayer. And it's only by practicing that we're going to find out. So go for it. Do your checklist, see how you're getting on, and then do your best to get into the very best relationship with God that you can manage. Amen.